T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
You know, we've been hearing about all the White Sox prospects, and we should be, all season long. But I'm wondering what's going on with these Cubs prospects, and we believe that the Cubs are going to be in buy mode. The trade deadline just 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks from today, we certainly believe so. They're sitting in first place in the Central. Sure, their record isn't what they expected, but maybe they're going to move some of these prospects. So let's find out what the Cubs have at the AA and AAA levels. First, we check in. This is Joe Ostrowski and Hub Arkish on the Score with Mick Gillespie. He's the voice of the AA team, the Tennessee Smokies, and he's on Twitter at Broadcaster Mick. See him every year making his way around the Cubs convention. How you doing, Mick?
Hey, guys. I appreciate the Grateful Dead. I mean, like, I'm a big Deadhead, so that's it. I think that's the perfect lead-in for me, and it's always good to talk to you guys about Cubs baseball and what's going on around the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody knew something. One of our producers doing a great job, Herb Lawrence and Julio Riseo. So we want to know about Nico Horner. He was one of the top picks recently, and we're wondering how he's doing climbing through the ranks. We know he's playing for Tennessee right now.
Yeah, you know, Nico's a really good prospect. Like, I think the scouting department did a fantastic job with that pick. I mean, he was with us most of April, and it was like you're looking at him and you're going, okay, this guy's played like, you know, 15 games or less as a pro player, and what's he doing in Double A? But he was fantastic. Like, he hits the ball, he squares it up. Like, you know, whether it's his two strike approach or his ability to drive the ball when he's in like kind of a hitter's count, he's great defensively. He got hit on the hand though with a pitch, and it broke his wrist. So, I mean, we just got him back like 5 games ago. But, I mean, again, he gets back and he's such a difference maker. So, I really think the Cubs have something with him. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, like you guys mentioned, like, there could be some things going on. Like, maybe they make some trades or whatever. But if they don't, I could see Nico being part of their future.
Mick, who is, and I know we do want to focus on current prospects, but I've got to ask you this question. I'm curious. Who was the last prospect that came through town and came through the Smokies that you just said, whoa, this guy's the next big thing?
Well, I mean, I can remember being, like, Crane invited me to his box for a game, and, like, his box is connected to, like, Theo's box, you know, and, like, talking to those guys, like, years ago about this dude that we had named Javi Baez, and being like, you know, everybody's like, well, what about this guy, and what about that? I'm like, no, like, this Javi guy is just insane. Like, the way he runs the bases, the way he plays defense, it's like his instincts. Like, this guy's incredible. Like, I've never seen anyone that plays the game like, you know, like Javi. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about now, but back then, no one knew, you know? It's like, boy, he strikes out a lot. Like, he does this, he does that. And then you're like, yeah, but you know what? He may have a game where he strikes out 4 times and doesn't do anything, and the next day he's going to hit 2 home runs and win the game with a base hit in the ninth. You know, like, he's special, you know, and now we know that. So, I mean, I'm guessing that's the last guy. I mean, we had KB, who I thought was amazing too, in a different way than Javi, because he's so consistent. But, I mean, like, those guys are, like, far and few between, you know. Like they're just so different than the regular guy. But what I love about, like, Nico is that Nico is the type of dude you put in the lineup every day and you know what you're going to get. You know, like, he's really consistent. He squares the ball up. He does a lot of – he plays defense the way you want to play it. You tell him what you need from him, and he delivers. So I think that's what makes Nico special.
Since he returned, I thought I was reading something. Did they start to move him around, I think, some center field, too?
Yeah, well, he came back, and all of a sudden, like, one day at shortstop, I see him 2 days in second, which wasn't something that we saw before. And then the last game he played, he's in center field. So, I mean, you hate to speculate, but Jason McLeod was in town, you know, the Cubs senior vice president of player development. So you wonder, like, maybe is he doing this because they're trying to get a feel of what he does, like, you know, how he can play that. But Nico's such a great athlete. Like, center field was no problem for him at all. I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, it's not like you got, you know, like a regular center fielder out there or someone that's amazing at the position. But for a guy that played center field for the first time in his pro career, he looked pretty darn good.
Mick, I don't want to call it the blind spot, but certainly the weak spot, even in the heyday in 12, 13, 14, when these prospects were coming up, the pitching has not come through the system. And yet we keep hearing Jed and Jason occasionally say we've actually got a lot of arms we're excited about, but they're all still down in rookie ball, A ball, maybe a couple in double A. Are there any arms? You know, obviously we saw Alzolay come up and has showed some promise. Are there any arms with you guys at the Smokies now that you can say you really think they can be difference makers in the next year, two, three?
Well, I mean, first off, you got to remember they traded Dylan Cease. So, right. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be pretty darn special. And they had to give him up to get Q, and Q's been so good for the Cubs. So, I mean, like, I get it, but it's a tough part about the business, you know, like, you got to give something up to get something. There's a guy named Tyson Miller that you need to keep an eye on. We had him. He's already moved to Triple A. He's a lot like Kyle Hendricks, you know, where he throws a lot of strikes. He keeps the balls down, you know, the ball down. He gets a lot of ground ball out. He strikes a lot of people out. He's a special pitcher. And I'm honestly curious, like, you know, if I'm a team that's trying to make a big deal, and I want to get some pitching back. Like, if I'm trying to send, like, a Madison Bumgarner or a Will, you know, Will Smith to the Cubs, like, you know, if I'm the Giants, I want the Tyson Miller back. So I think Tyson Miller has a lot of potential. We have another guy named Corey Abbott who isn't quite as polished as Miller, but he's the same thing. You know, like, you just watch him and you go, okay, this guy's going to be in the major leagues. I know the Cubs are kind of at that point right now where they're, like, hoping that they kind of have that next wave of pitching prospects. And so I'm thinking that that's going to happen. But those are the two guys for me that stand out as far as, you know, the Double-A team's concerned.
So really what you're saying is that these arms that we're hearing about haven't even made it to Double-A yet. If they're there, they're down in Single-A and rookie ball.
No, I'm saying, like, those are the two guys that to me, on our team, that really, really, like, you're going, okay, if I'm another guy in an organization, those are the two guys that you know, stand out to me. You know, Adbert Alzolay, you know, we've seen him in the big leagues. Like, he had a couple really good outings. He had one that wasn't so good. He can pitch, though. You know, so if they give him a shot, I mean, I think over the long term, he's going to make it. But, I mean, all I can judge personally is what I've seen. And the other guy that I would say stands out to me is Oscar De La Cruz. And so they moved him from starter to reliever. And, you know, last year he got and you know, he got banged for the PD, you know, the performance-enhancing drugs or whatever. But, I mean, since he's come back, like, they moved him to a reliever. And I really feel like he's big league reliever material. You know, I don't even know why. Like, no one said, hey, Mick, you know, like, no scouts have come up and said, hey, this guy, I just watch him, you know. And it's like, he just has the look to me. So I'm he's another guy who I look at and go, yeah, you know what? This guy's got the potential to really help the Cubs out in the near future.
Mick, have there been any players that have come through Double-A that you thought once they get to the majors, they're just going to completely take off and it just hasn't happened? Maybe they're stuck in Iowa or it didn't work out once they hit the majors.
There's always like a guy or two where you're like, you know what? I feel like this guy has a really good chance to like help the team out at the big leagues, you know, but they leave us and they go to Triple-A and it doesn't work out. There was a guy, Kenny Chesney. I mean, Chesney Young. I always call him Kenny Chesney. He's like a country singer.
That's, you know what, Mick, that's okay, because to me, Tyler Chatwood will always be Jimmy Chitwood. So I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, you get it. This guy can hit, you know, but when he got to AAA, it didn't really pan out. But, you know, besides him, I mean, most of the guys you look at and you're like, okay, this guy can really swing it. They go up and they take care of business, you know. My biggest thing was, and I hope my buddy Gordon Whitmire is listening from the Chicago Sun-Times. We used to debate about Javi all the time. I just was so sure that Javi was going to be a superstar. I mean, like, I'd seen it, you know. I saw his ability to hit the ball the right field, to walk, like, you know, the things that kind of took him a little bit of time to do in the big leagues, it took him a little bit of time to do in Double A too. But there was just something special about him. You know, no one ever argued about KB. The rest of the guys, like, they were just kind of exactly what you see. But I'd say Javi Baez was the player who people were really debating. You know, is this guy going to be able to come to town? Is he going to be able to kind of, you know, cut down on the swings? Is he going to be able to make contact? Is he going to be able to do the things that it takes to be successful? I never doubted him. You know, I never did. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe it was a gut feeling, or maybe it was just what I saw in games, but he was always someone that was super special to me. I loved the way that his family showed up when we would play down in Jacksonville. You know, I remember his sister Noli being there, and what that meant to him. I just always thought that there was something about this kid that was a little bit different than the other minor league kids that we saw come through. We had a no-hitter in Jacksonville, and Javi saved it twice. You know, and it was like a soft-tossing lefty. It wasn't like somebody that was, like, throwing, like, 96. Like, it was like a guy who was, like, mixing pitches and doing all this. And Javi was the guy that, were like, that made the big plays. So I guess to me, like, watching Javi kind of become, like, this perennial all-star and this player that has done all these things to, like, help the Cubs win a World Series and be competitive – you know, he's the guy that I guess personally I'm the most proud of, because I just believed in him, and he's kind of lived up to that billing.
Mick, we're going to check in with Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs, in just a minute. But we've seen Robel Garcia come up, hit a couple of homers, and most Cubs fans feel like, okay, we like what we see, but we don't know much about this guy. Can you help us out?
Yeah, I mean, like, my feeling on Robel is, like, he showed up, and he absolutely killed the ball in Tennessee. You know, I've always been just a little skeptical of his defense. Like, I wonder, like, what's the process going to be for him to, like, kind of get the ability to make better plays on defense. You know, like, I questioned his hands. You know, why does he make so many errors? And I'm not saying that in a way, like, where I don't want the guy to succeed. I'm just saying, like, at the big league level, you just can't make, like, routine mistakes. You know, like, they expect you to make all of those plays. Robel has just this incredible ability to hit the ball. And I remember talking to him at the batting cage and going, you're the guy that they're going to be writing stories about. You know, no one comes from, like, Team Italy in the World Baseball Classic and to the big leagues. But, like, he can hit the ball from both sides of the plate with power. And what you'll notice is that he will make adjustments. You know, like, if you think you're going to slip a couple of sliders by him, the second one, he might hit it out of the ballpark. You know, he's got power, both fields. He's exceptional at the plate. Well, my biggest issue with him was just like, hey, you know, making the routine play. And so I talked to Alex, and I mean, I'll probably tell you this, and he said, you know what, he made the routine plays in Iowa. You know, with me, it was with Tennessee. Like, I wondered why. You know, what was it going to take for the Cubs to kind of work on his hands and just get them to be a little bit more secure, you know, make those big plays. But I'm going to tell you something. He's a great kid. And, I mean, like, it's really amazing what he's been able to do coming from, you know, being just like some guy playing for Team Italy, and now he's with the Cubs. So I'm very proud of him, and I hope that he just continues to get better. Because, I mean, not only is it going to help the Cubs, but it's just a sensational story.
All right, Mick, thank you so much for joining us. Mick Gillespie, the voice of the Tennessee Smokies, giving us some intel on the AA team and Nico Horner and some of the other Cubs there. And now also joining us on 670, the Score, Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs. He's on Twitter, at Voice of Cohen. What's going on, Alex?
Nothing much. That's a pretty tough out to follow with Mick. You know, minor league broadcaster of the year, the best hair in the Southern League. It's pretty tough to compete with.
Okay, I'm going to speak for all Cubs fans. What is going on with Ian Happ?
I'll say this. Ian Happ, over the last week, finally putting together a stretch where I think the Cubs envisioned when they sent him to AAA. I think they could have wanted that in May and not at the end of June, at the beginning of July, but it's coming. You know, four out of his last six games, multi-hit games. He had a two-homer game, both homers from the right side, a combined 860 feet in home runs. So these are good things. You know, Ian has gotten on base in over half of his plate appearances. I think he has a 620 on-base percentage over his last seven games. Defensively, he played a great center field all year. And over the last week, he's played second base, I think five out of the last seven games. Hasn't committed an error, multiple web gems. He's finally getting his swagger back. And I think, obviously, coming to AAA out of spring training, it was a little bit of a shock. And, you know, had some trouble adjusting. And then when he did adjust and, you know, tried to make some changes, comes with a lot of trial and error. But I think over the last 2 weeks, he's really turned a corner. He's played some pretty good baseball over the last 10 games. So if that's any indication of what we'll see the rest of the year, should be back in Chicago sometime soon.
All right, so you've got Advert Alzolay back. He came up. He had two outstanding four-inning outings and then couldn't make it out of the second in a second start. It was as bad as the first two were good. I assume the first two is more of what you'd expect from him, but how close is he to being able to come up to Wrigley Field and stay?
He's a stud. We saw him his first start of 2019. Remember, he began the year in extended spring training. Then he had a rehab start in Myrtle Beach. Then he came to Iowa middle of May at his first start, four innings, six hits, five runs, four earned, six strikeouts. And when he has his bad outings, he misses a pitch or two, maybe three, that, you know, he'll leave a fastball up in the zone, leave a curveball up in the zone, that guys will take advantage of. And then after that first start in Iowa, he was incredible. I mean, he was a guy who struck out eight to nine batters every single game. And I think what convinced me that Alzolay was a big league pitcher is seeing how he adjusted from 2018 to 2019. In 2018, he was just a guy throwing 95 to 96. Changeup was decent, but having trouble throwing his secondary pitches and just got out of innings because of pure stuff. I think in 2019, he got bigger, he got stronger, and he just got more feel as a pitcher. I mean, the curveball with us was his best pitch. It was better than his fastball. Just to see him develop his secondaries the way that he was able to do over an offseason, it was tremendous. I think the All-Star break definitely helped him just coming to Iowa. He made one start. His first two innings were great. His next two innings were bad. Take a deep breath. Go to the Futures game. You know, feel like a stud. Come back to Iowa. And the sky's the limit with him now. The real question is, what are the Cubs going to do with Advert Alzolay? Will he make a bigger impression on the team in August and September in the bullpen? Well, he's a guy who's been a starter throughout his entire minor league baseball career. I think if he does get moved to the bullpen, it won't be initially up in Chicago. It'll be with Iowa first. But yeah, I think he's a big league pitcher, whether he's a reliever or a starter. I think he's a stud. I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, that's the big question. I could certainly see that he comes and helps the big league team in the bullpen out of this season. Then maybe he's moved to a starter down the line. Any other names that Cubs fans should be familiar with? Maybe that will bring you some value if you have a team in trade talks that is looking for a player to contribute over the next couple of years on the Iowa Cubs.
Well, I would have said Rogel Garcia about a week ago, but now he's up in the big leagues and seems to be playing a really pivotal role with the Chicago Cubs. And I agree everything with Nick said. I mean, the sky's the limit for the kid from a hitting perspective. Guy can hit for power for both sides of the plate. I'm talking about light tower power, 420-plus-foot home runs from both sides. Defense with us over his last 10 games was much better. Once they put him consistently at second base, he seemed to really improve. Also offensively for the Iowa Cubs that I think could provide value, you know, not only to the Cubs but to another organization, is Trent Giambrone. He's a guy who's a top 30 prospect in the organization. Unheralded guy when he was drafted out of Delta State. I think it was like a 25th round draft pick. He can play defense left field, right field, third base, second base. He could fill in at shortstop. He's a former minor league gold glover. But this year with the I-Cups, 18 homers, 17 doubles, 13 stolen bases at the All-Star break. If you put that over a 140-game season, he has the opportunity to be the first 20-20-20 guy for the Iowa Cubs since 1990. So whenever you could put together doubles power, home run power, and speed, you got a pretty good minor league baseball prospect there who could provide value to not only the Cubs, but also other teams are looking for that as well. So I like Trent a lot. I mean, he's a guy who is a hitter in spurts. He had 10 home runs in the month of June. He was the last Iowa Cubs player to hit 10 home runs in a month since Javi Baez did it in 2014 in July. So the power's real, and he can play defense. So he's a guy that could probably not only make it up to the big leagues this year in September, but also spur some trade talk with other organizations.
So I'm curious, in your role, do you have to keep an eye on the Smokies and single A and rookie ball and follow these kids through the system so that you're ready for them to call their games when they get to you?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I do just naturally. Just being immersed in the Cubs system, it's so much fun watching these guys, whether it's in Eugene or whether it's in South Bend. I was a former broadcaster in the Midwest League, so I got to see the South Bend Cubs in action where they had Eloy Jimenez and they had Eddie Julio Martinez and Aramis Adamon and guys like that. So being in the Midwest League helped. I also broadcasted in the Southern League, so I broadcasted with Nick. I was with the Huntsville Stars, but just seeing the Tennessee Smokies when they had Justin Bour and Javier Baez, and I think the guy who he was referring to through the no-hitter was Eric Jokic, so I remember hearing about that. But it's fun just watching the Cubs system, just getting to know some of the guys, not only the players and the prospects, but also the broadcasters. It's a pretty tight-knit family, so I enjoy watching the entire system and seeing how they did throughout the entire season.
So what I'm curious about is that they have clearly developed a reputation for being great with position players, but just not doing anything and developing young pitchers. And I don't want to say we keep hearing. I really like these guys. I've got nothing critical to say of Jason McLeod or Jed Hoyer or Theo. But we've heard the refrain for about a year and a half or two now that the arms are coming, that there's a lot of exciting arms, but they're still down in single A and rookie ball. And they get to the point where they can't wait much longer. Are there any arms you're aware of? And again, I guess maybe we're talking about trade bait because we know a lot of these names that you're giving us as position players, but other than Alzai, can't think of a lot of the pitchers that anybody's talking about.
There's some back end of the bullpen guys with Iowa who have been not only tremendous throughout the season, but you've seen them in stints in Chicago, and they pitch pretty well. We've been talking about Dylan Maple for the last 3 years. He legitimately has the best breaking pitch I've seen in minor league baseball in 10 years. The slider is a great – it's tough to say a grade 80 pitch because I'm not a scout, but it's a 70-grade pitch. It is a legit back end of the bullpen wipeout slider. And when you can locate that fastball 96 to 98 miles per hour, there will be some organization, if it's not the Cubs, somebody else says, I want that guy to be my setup guy or be my closer. So I think Dylan Maples is definitely that guy. Rowan Wick instance with the Chicago Cubs. He's been pretty good with Iowa. He's been unhittable over the last month and a half. James Norwood, who we saw last year, is a fastball split combo for the 99-mile-per-hour fastball to 89-mile-per-hour splitter. It's legit stuff. You put those three guys along with Dakota Mech as a former 10th-round draft pick for the Cubs who's just shot up through the system, a guy who has, I think, a 1.39 career minor league ERA, 6'7", 255 pounds. He doesn't throw 97 to 98. He throws 94 to 95, but with that long reach, he's got a good changeup as well. He's a guy who I think some people were expecting at the beginning of the season to be up with the big leagues, but I do think by the end of the season, he could certainly be up with the big leagues. So those are some of the bullpen arms of the starting rotation. Couple seasoned veterans have really pitched well for the I-Cups. Colin Ray, who at one point was one of the top pitching prospects in the Padres organization, he got Tommy John surgery. He was signed with the Chicago Cubs as a minor league free agent. All he's done this year is lead the PCL in wins, top three in the league in ERA, top three in the league in WHIP. He's a guy, he's a pro. He's 29 years old. Fastball, curveball, changeup combination, fastball, low 90s, good two-seamer. Alec Mills, who we saw last year with the Chicago Cubs, he struggled at the beginning of the year over his last nine starts of sub-3 ERA, which in the Pacific Coast League, guys, that's pretty difficult to do. Good changeup, fastball, 89 to 91 miles per hour. And he's a guy who, you get him up to the big leagues, he's not going to hurt you. He's going to plot away. He's a smart pitcher, doesn't make many mistakes. So from a starting rotation, those are two guys that, hey, if somebody gets hurt, you need a depth piece. Their depth pieces, And then Tyson Miller, who started the year in Tennessee, a top 25 prospect. He dominated with Mick with the Smokies. Then he came up to Iowa. He made one start. Struggled a little bit. He's the guy, former fourth-round draft pick, 6'5", big body, lively fastball, 91 to 94, good curveball as well. So I'm pretty intrigued to see what happens with Tyson Miller throughout the rest of the season.
All right, Alex, thank you so much. Some great information for the Cubs fans listening out there. Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs, he's on Twitter, at Voice of Cohen. This hour on The Score brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
I'm going to answer our most recent texter.
I just saw it.
Yeah, no. No more Gleyber Torreses, no more Eloy Jimenezes, no more Dylan Ceases. And you know, I really enjoyed the talk with both Mick and Alex because, you know, yes, there are some arms. What people are talking about when they talk about the Cubs making a deal now is looking for bullpen arms. So, you know, maybe they don't need to make the big deal there. But what continues to concern me is what I'm still hearing is there are no more Dylan Ceases. There is no Michael Kopech. There's no, you know, the future of the Cubs rotation apparently isn't here, you know. And so I think 6 years later, the fact that this is the way that Theo and Jed and Jason have built this system, it's fair to question a little bit.
So that's what's so impressive about what the Astros have done and the Dodgers, even though they don't have their ring yet. There's a good chance they'll get it soon, what they've done, because not only have they built their core, but they keep bringing guys up. You're like, wow, who is that guy now contending for an MVP? Who's this guy? He's an all-star. Where did he come from?
I understand that there's a lot more risk involved in using high picks on these young arms because of the rate they blow out at, but when you look at what certain team, you mentioned the Dodgers, you mentioned the Astros, look what the Mets did a couple of years ago. You know, now granted, you know, Syndergaard and DeGrom are the only ones left, but they're the 1-2 guys in your rotation. They're pretty hard to beat, you know.
Yeah.
And at some point, whether you trade for them or draft them, you got to find some of these guys because you see the folly of giving $140 or whatever it is million to a Yu Darvish.
Coming up next, I want to talk about something that Anthony Rizzo said about the second half that I found pretty interesting on what the Cubs need to do to win the NL Central. That's next. It's Joe Ostrowski and Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Hub Arkish kind enough to hang out with me tonight here on The Score here till 10 o'clock. Then Julie DeCaro will step in. We'll talk some NBA and some Bulls with Joe Cowley at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. So Anthony Rizzo, as the Cubs were packing their bags for a little getaway before Friday's game for the All-Star break, made an interesting comment in the clubhouse before he left. He said, "It's no secret we need to be more clean on defense. That's priority number one. It's a mindset. It's focus. It's going over every play in your head before the pitch, every scenario, so when it happens, you're ready for it. Not that we aren't, but it's just laser-focused for 27 outs, 9 innings. Edison Russell. Everything you're saying right there. I mean, we've seen it so much lately, whether it's Edison Russell or even Almora, just some boneheaded mistakes. It does seem like they just needed a break. And I know the excuse has been out there that they played so much baseball, already 90 games in the first half. I hope they look like the Joe Maddon team that we've seen over the last 4 years that just completely takes off in the second half. But I have my reservations. I don't know if this is the year that they're able to do that for a fifth straight year.
I worry, you know, I go all the way back to the beginning of the season and all the baseball prospectus and Pecota stuff, and I still think they're obviously much better. Well, they're in first place, not last place, which is what they predicted, and there's no reason to believe
79
wins is what they said. But where I'm going is what they based it on, and the main downside that the Pecota folks talked about, or I should say the baseball prospectus folks talked about, was the age of the rotation, and that they were at the stage where they were all going to start to go in the wrong. Well, obviously not Hendricks, but you know everybody else, you know, 30s, mid 30s. That hasn't happened. That isn't the problem. Cole Hamels was pitching almost to an all-star level until he had the oblique. Kyle Hendricks has had a few bad outings, but for the most part, he's right where you expect him, 3.35, something like that. Mm-hmm. In Lester, I could see it. In Darvish, that's not the problem. I mean, Darvish has never been the pitcher they thought he was going to be since they got him. And Quintana has been disappointing. I'm not going to say he hasn't had some good outings, but has never been the guy they thought they were getting from the time they made the trade.
No, yeah. You can make arguments, well, it allowed him, his salary allowed them to make other moves, which they messed up on, like Chatwood and Darvish and stuff. You can make that argument, and he takes the ball every fifth day, but he's not what they were expecting. They were expecting a two or three, and they're getting a four.
Yeah, and so where I'm going with this is if at least – three or four of those guys pitch to their ability consistently in the second half, I think the spurt can still come. I'm not as worried about they've got too many big-time hitters to not hit better, in key situations, to drive in runs. We know they're capable of being one of the best defensive teams in baseball, and these are the things it is up to Joe Maddon to fix. I don't think he should fire him, but he's got to fix these things. He has shown the ability to fix these things. What worries me, to your point, about maybe they just can't do it this year, is can these 30-something starting pitchers in the second half, in the dog days, come out every 5 days and give you a quality start? That's the one thing that I'm not as confident in with this team as I have been the last 4 years.
So I read that Rizzo quote because he said the defense, clean on defense, that's priority number one. And it's amazing because it's pretty much the same players that were out there in 2016, the best defense most of us have ever seen in a baseball season. It's the same guys out there just a few seasons later, and they just can't put it all together for nine innings. So many frustrating moments. So Rizzo says the priority is to be clean on defense, and I think the priority, and I agree with you, is consistency with the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Quintana, and some of the numbers are affected because he has these blowout games, but that's not really acceptable. Every few weeks or at least once a month, he has an outing. He's given up 6, 7, even 8 or runs. We'll see it a couple times with John Lester, but we know what stage of the career he's in. And you're right, we've never, ever seen it with Darvish. Another guy, you thought you were going to get a 2, and you're really getting a 4. And the Hamels injury, that throws everything up in the air because we have no idea. Tommy Hotovy was on the station this morning saying he looked great, he felt great. They'll check back in coming up on Friday, and they're going to take things slow. And they're only going to need the fifth starter twice in the month of July with all the off days that they have. But I don't know what to think about Cole Hamels, and that was your best pitcher before his injury.
Joe, I mean, you may have needed a 2 because you thought Lester was a 1, but you paid Darvish to be a 1, and he's been a 5. The one who makes me the craziest is Q, because to hear Hotovy talk about it, to hear Maddon talk about it, they know exactly what the problem is. When he uses his breaking balls and his changeup, he has a great outing, and then he falls in love with his fastball, and he gets rocked.
Yes.
Well, how many times can that happen before somebody on this coaching staff or he himself can fix it? You know, that is almost inexcusable. And so it's the great frustration with this team. You look at the roster 1 through 25, and on pure talent, they are more than capable of another great second-half run. And maybe you almost expect it because they've done it every year since Maddon's been here. But I completely agree with you. I don't have that feeling this year. That I was comfortable coming out of the break 2 years ago when they were 5.5 back. I was comfortable last year. Of course, didn't know that all the weather and makeup games and everything was going to create that 42-43 stretch, which I still think was the biggest problem with that team last year. They were done by the time they got to mid-September.
The rainouts, you know, yeah.
Hopefully that won't happen this year, especially with all this off time in July. But I people are pleased because Darvish is now throwing six innings. I need to see Darvish have six starts in a row where he doesn't give up more than a run or two before I'm going to trust him to do anything, you know. And if Hamels was healthy, I wouldn't be as concerned about it. But if you can't count on Hamels, and you know you can't count on Darvish, that's a little scary.
Yeah, how many times are we going to move the goalposts on Darvish? Okay, you gave a quality start. All right, an attaboy. No, you're right. You signed him to be that one to eventually take over for John Lester. So we throw the question out to you, and it's going to be for Cubs or Sox fans. What is priority number one once baseball starts up again on Friday for the second half of the season? What's the top priority? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Text 67011. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. It's Joe Ostrowski and Hub Arkish on The Score.
We need to be more clean on defense. That's priority number one. Making mental errors is just something that's kind of got us, and we clean that up. I think you'll see our game elevate.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Hub Arkish hanging out tonight until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 670 The Score. We'll talk some NBA at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. Joe Colley will join us. And, Hub, I mentioned during the break to you, I thought it was pretty interesting that earlier in the hour when we were checking in with the AA and AAA minor league teams with the Cubs to see that one of the prospects that we've heard about, Nico Hoerner, he comes back from a busted wrist, and now they start moving him around the diamond. When Jason McLeod happens to be in town, they put him at second base. We know about the glaring hole at second base. Maybe they get something out of Robel Garcia for the second half. Who knows? Been the huge hole in the roster because Descalso has not gotten it done, and Addison Russell has just been horrible. And then out in center field, they haven't gotten the pop, the offense that they've needed out of that position to go along with the defense, and they've been playing Hoerner there.
Yeah, I wish I could find some excuse or answer for Descalso. He's coming off a career year with the Cardinals. He had an incredible April and May, and then just disappeared. And now I just shudder whenever I see him in the lineup. If my recollection is right, I mean, I think Nico Hoerner was drafted out of Stanford as a middle infielder. But the center field thing is all new, and so you know my guess is that their hope is that Robel Garcia can you know, plug second base at least on a fairly regular basis until they could get David Bodie hitting again. But it sounds like they may be looking at Hoerner as a potential, you know, call up and answer to get some center field time.
Yeah.
It is still double A.
It's a huge leap for him.
Yeah, he ain't coming from double A. Yeah.
Next year or down the road at least, they see where the holes are going to be. Javi Baez is your shortstop for, they think, a very, very long time. So what are you going to do with Hoerner there? Let's see what he could do at second base and center field. It certainly makes a lot of sense to just see what he can do. Maybe not so much for this season, but it'll be interesting because now we're at the time of the year. We're going to hear all the rumors 24/7 over the next few weeks. Which names are the Cubs going to be in on? And you're going to look up north to Milwaukee. That's a team they're probably going to battle with throughout the entire second half, I would think. I don't think this division will be decided until the last week of the regular season. And they might make that big move like Madison Bumgarner for their rotation.
Yeah, but what are you going to have to give up? I mean, I just don't think they have the prospects to be able to get a Madison Bumgarner. I think the more likely, I don't think there's a big move in the rotation for them to make. I'm not saying we were talking about it. It might be a good thing for them,
But no, I was just talking about just watching the Brewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the Brewers moving from Madison. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the Cubs from Madison Bumgarner.
No.
That would not be a good thing.
that would be really bad.
Although Bumgarner the last year and a half or so hasn't been Bumgarner from prior to. I mean, but he's still a guy you don't want the Brewers to get. We keep talking about the Brewers having more prospects, but the Brewers have dealt a lot of prospects in the last couple of years. They could be walking themselves right into what the Cubs walked themselves into without getting their World Series ring. So, over the next at least 2.5 months, I don't want to see Madison Bumgarner 60 miles from here.
No. See, that's the other intriguing thing here, because everybody's within 5 games of each other in this division. Cincinnati was saying before the year started that they were in go-for-it mode. They're finally ready. They want to buy at the trade deadline. They're in position. They are. I think they still have the second-best run differential in the division, which kind of suggests that their record should be even better than what it is so far. They've had some really good pitching. St. Louis sitting there in the middle. I'm not sure if Pittsburgh's going to end up buying, but they have a few really nice hitters in that lineup, so maybe if they win some division games, if they take care of the Cubs again, they might decide to buy. And then of course the Cubs and Brewers will both be adding. I could see them all adding.
So the irony of it is that these other four teams all have some nice pieces. The Brewers have a bunch of nice pieces. They're the defending division champs. But the most complete roster in the division is still the Chicago Cubs. And so as everybody keeps talking about moves they wish they could make or they think they should make, I kind of keep coming back to this group has to decide, do we want to be the Chicago Cubs for another year, and how do we get that done and then go out and get it done?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And see, of course, this time of the year, and it's understandable, what are the Cubs going to do? Well, you already added Kimbrel. That was the huge hole all season. And I know there are some other issues with this roster. There isn't a perfect roster in Major League Baseball. And you didn't have to give anything up. That's the key. It was all money with Kimbrel. Now, we'll see if it ends up working out. But you're right, Hub, as we talk about, well, is it Joe Maddon's fault? Is it this guy? Is it Theo? Is it Jed? This roster's complete. It's exactly what they were hoping for when they started this entire process. The players have to be better. They need to be tighter on defense. They need to hit consistently in those tough situations. You can't go 9 runs, 0 runs, 8 runs, 2 runs like they did last year as well. You need to see more strides with this bullpen. I think they're going to add. You're right there, especially with a left-handed reliever. Maybe a couple of arms. And then the rotation, we need more consistency.
I'll tell you one thing that I do think is fair to point out, and this is on Theo, is if they had not waited on Kimbrel, and I know they were trying to save the draft choice, they would almost certainly be 5-6 games better than they are right now. They led Major League Baseball in blown saves the first half of the season. I think Kimbrel's going to be fine. I know some of it hasn't looked great, but you got to remember the guy hadn't pitched in a year. If he had been here from opening day, he would have cost more and he would have cost the draft pick, but they'd be in a lot better shape than they are right now. It was a calculated move that they made. Now, you could also argue that they got away with it because they got him here in time while they're still in first place, but they would be in a lot less pressure situation if they'd had him here all year.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. They walked into the season with the roster short. They knew Brandon Morrow wasn't going to be ready. They were hoping May. You can keep hoping because I'm not expecting to see him throw another pitch for the Cubs.
Listen, Theo is great at what he does. Nobody's going to sit here and pretend I'm going to outthink Theo. I know better than he does, and I'm not down on Theo. I mean, on balance, again, you've got that World Series. You got the 4 straight playoff teams. You got the winningest team in baseball last 4 years. Theo's done a great job, but he's not perfect, okay? And every once in a while there's a move. The one move I never understood, the moment it was announced that Brandon Morrow got $35 million for 2 years, I'm asking myself, what the hell are you thinking? You know, look at his history with injuries. You know, how do you do that and say, and by the way, hadn't been a real closer, you know, more of a setup man for the most part.
And he was used a lot with the Dodgers.
That is the one signing I can sit here and say, and I'll call my witnesses, like these people who accuse people and say, well, I did tell somebody 15 years ago, even though I didn't announce it, and that becomes their proof. From the moment it happened, I never understood the Brandon. And again, it ain't personal, Brandon, but
yeah.
It just didn't make sense to me that you were going to be able to count on him to be, especially coming off what Wade Davis had done for you. Now, Davis looked worn out in the end. You know, I didn't have a problem not giving him the money that the Rockies did, but the idea that Morrow was going to be the answer never made sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And some deep runs in the playoffs and some older guys, you see what happens after they make these World Series runs in the following season. And Morrow, I would hope that they're expecting absolutely nothing from him. I would think that's the case.
Yeah, to our texter who says the Cubs need to get back Tommy La Stella for second base, that wouldn't help a whole lot. He's got a broken leg right now.
Yeah, though. He's not playing.
He's done for at least the next, six, seven, 8 weeks.
So right now, Descalso's side is winning, I guess, because he's available. We're going to switch gears a little bit, talk some Bulls and some NBA with the Sun-Times' Joe Cowley. He joins us next. It's Joe Ostrowski and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.